Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
We're going to go ahead and just take questions for Eric. So we already have several in the queue, so we're going to get started. We're going to take our first question from Jordan Bianchi. Jordan, go ahead.
Thanks. Eric, I have two questions for you. One, how would you assess your season so far? It seems like you guys have had speed most weeks, but maybe not the finishes to correspond with that. So how would you assess it?
I don't know. That's kind of a tough question. I think we've been pretty fast every week. I can't think of a race maybe other than Martinsville where we didn't have good speed. And, it's unfortunate we haven't finished as good as we've ran, I think, at some races. But, I think that's going to come around. You can't have things go wrong every single week, you know. So it was a good day today. The Craftsman camera was pretty quick. And, it was good to get a good finish. But I don't know. I wish we would get some more finishes. But I feel like we're moving in the right direction.
And second question is about next year. Where are you at in negotiations with Toyota, Joe Gibbs Racing, and do you feel like you'll be back with the team for 2021?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a good, I guess, what is it, my third, fourth year at JGR now, something like that. So, we started talking to him about next year and what we're going to do moving forward. So, I feel like right now that's kind of the plan is working with them. So we'll see what happens, but I feel good about it right now moving forward.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Daryl Kinsey. Daryl, go ahead.
Eric, how does it feel to get third today after Saturday's race didn't end the way you would wanted it to?
We needed a good run. I mean, we needed a good rebound. It's great that we finished third. In a way, it's kind of frustrating. I think our primary car was quite a bit better than what, our backup car was today. But obviously, third is a good run. So, nice to rebound and hopefully just keep the momentum going next week and Indy and keep running strong like we talked about there. I feel like we've had good speed. We just haven't been able to show it. We either get run over every week or we have a penalty or, something else happened to us. So, it's nice just to have a normal race. I mean, I think on a normal weekend, we can run top five pretty easily. And, I think we showed that today.
And we heard of some radio traffic that some drivers felt that the traction compound had been worn out by the time you guys had got on the speedway. What did you feel when you were on the track?
It wasn't as good as it was yesterday for sure. I thought yesterday, you could really get up there and make some good time. Really in any corner almost, but it definitely got worn out more and in three a lot. I think a lot of guys were running that as their preferred groove in turn three because the PJ1 was put so low. In turn one, you could still get up there and run. I passed some people up top in one, but three, it was definitely worn out.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, we are going to take our next question from Luis Torres. Go ahead.
Speaking of getting that best finish of the season, how encouraging is it to get that run knowing that you just had strong cars but needed the consistency and also putting yourself back into that top 16 with Reddick having his problems?
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. We feel like we should definitely make the playoffs. We've done that the last few years now, I don't see this year as any different. So, it's nice to have a solid run. Like I said, it seems like something always has went wrong for us the last few weeks. So, just nice to have a clean day. There was – one mistake we had all day. We had a loose wheel, and it ended up not really affecting us too much, which was good. Hopefully we can just keep doing that moving forward. We got good racetracks coming up for us, places we've ran really well at in the past. So, I think we're going to keep racking up some good finishes here. And hopefully, go up and get a win here pretty soon.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Chris Knight. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Eric, nice job today. I was just wondering your thoughts on going to Indianapolis next week. It's either been feast or famine for you there. And do you enjoy running at Indianapolis?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I think, we ran really well there a couple of years ago, running second. And then last year got in a wreck. And I think 17 we got in a wreck. So, you know, it's definitely been on or off. I feel like all years we've been fast and just haven't kind of had things work out for us. So, you know, hopefully it's just another clean race. I think the speed will be there. You know, not having practice really hasn't seemed to hurt us a whole lot. So hopefully we can just kind of go out and do the same thing we did today. And if we can do that, get a good draw for a start, you know, I feel like we'll be up front, definitely in the top five, and hopefully contend for a win.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Yep.
Okay. Next question is going to be from Mark Guerra with PRN. Mark, go ahead.
Eric, do you see yourself being able to kind of separate yourself now from that 16th position and not stay in that kind of that dogfight for the final spot or two? Do you see yourself able to distance yourself from that?
Yeah, I would hope so. You know, I think our cars are way faster than a 16th place team. So, you know, hopefully we can just keep up the good runs. We just need, you know, 3-4 more races just running strong and like we need to, getting some stage points, and, you know, we'll be up in the top 12 pretty quickly. I mean, 3 weeks ago, you know, we were fighting for 12 of the points, trying to just get into that better draw, and then all of a sudden we had multiple bad races. So, you know, it happens, and it was some things that were in our control, some things that weren't. And, you know, hopefully today, you know, if we can run like this more and more, I think that, you know, the points come along right with that.
A moment ago, they talked about the IndyCar, NASCAR doubleheader next week. Would you ever have any interest in driving an IndyCar? Would you at least like to practice one?
Yeah, I mean, I think any driver would love to drive any kind of, you know, form of race car. And I've had some opportunities to drive some other forms of race cars, and it's been pretty neat. And, you know, an IndyCar would be really unique, really different from anything I've ever raced. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Indy 500 is on most racers' bucket lists at some point in their career. But I would definitely take the opportunity to drive an Indy car, whether it just be a test or something. That'd be pretty cool.
Okay. Our next question has come from Zach with the Pocono Record. Zach, go ahead.
Eric, Pocono has been a really good track for you at the Cup Series, really since your rookie year. What is it about this place that either suits your style or that you just have found to really work for you?
Yeah, I think you know, just been good here, and a lot of things I've ran here, kind of always of ARCA cars. I ran here a long time ago, 7 years ago. I mean, we were fast, contended for wins there. Trucks, we contended for wins. Xfinity, we should have won a race here, I feel like, definitely in 16. And then Cup was the same way. So just always been a place I've been fast. I think there's a lot of things that I kind of know how to do here that make a lot of speed, and it's just a place where you have to carry a lot of momentum and really focus on how you're going to get on the straightaway and carry a lot of speed. So that kind of falls into things that, you know, I really focus on and feel like I'm good at as a driver. And it's really helped me at Pocono over the last few years I've raced here.
With this, you know, having less horsepower this year and last year than you had your first couple seasons, and how important the momentum is now, do you feel like that's actually been a benefit for you?
I don't know. I don't know that we've ran any better or worse with, you know, this rules package than what we did with the old one. I feel like we were similar here with the other rules package. So I don't know if it's changed it a lot. It's definitely changed the driving style. We don't shift anymore and carry a lot more speed on entry and through the center of the corners. But, you know, I don't know that it's really affected how we ran here too much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Jeff with Empire Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, Eric, congrats on the great run today. Could you take us, please, through the mindset of someone who is on the cusp of the playoff picture? Basically, do you guys take a look at the standings at this point in the year? Does it affect your strategy at all? Could you take us through that mindset?
No, I mean, not really. I don't look at it. I mean, I think we're so much better than that that it doesn't really even play into my mind. I know if we just kind of do – what we need to do, I mean, things have kind of work out, you know, it's not really even a question in my mind at this point, making the playoffs or not. So, you know, I feel like we'll be strong enough here to get a win at a race here in the next month or two somewhere. So I don't think that's really in my mind. You know, we've just got a good enough car and a good enough team, and we just got to clean some things up and, you know, have some things go our way. I don't really believe in luck that much, but you know, you keep chugging along and things will kind of go your way eventually. So, Yeah, I don't really look at it too much. If we really got down to it, you know, where we were in a bad spot, I mean, for sure I'd look at it. But at this point, I'm not really thinking about it much.
Some great strategy from you and Chris today. How great has it been to have Chris by your side throughout this process, your crew chief for four seasons thus far, and hopefully counting, of course. So how great has it been to have Chris on your side?
Yeah, Chris has done a good job. I think he gets better each year, and you know, he understands what I need out of a race car and understands my feedback and things that I want, things that I do. He's always been really good on strategy and getting these races to play out the way we need them to. So he had a good plan coming into today and really explained it to me, and I trusted him from the start. And, you know, the race kind of played out the way that we needed it to. So that was great. And, you know, Chris has always done a good job with that, especially here, at Pocono, where, you know, strategy really is a big deal. So it's, it's definitely been nice to have him on the box.
Thanks, Eric. Good job today.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take our next question, or I should say our – okay, we're going to fit in two more real fast. Dustin Long, go ahead with your question, and then Jenna will end with you.
Thanks. Eric, in such strategy races like this weekend and also, I presume, like next weekend at Indianapolis, you know, how involved are you in that? How easy is it to keep up with that? Or is this an easy type of weekend where it's almost like shut up and drive and just let the crew chief handle it? How do you kind of look at how involved do you want to be or want to know everything when there's all these different pit strategies going on?
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep informed pretty well what we're doing. You know, I don't want to totally go in blind and be hit with some random stuff during the race. So, you know, Chris always does a good job of explaining what his thoughts are for different situations and always gives me a few scenarios of how things could play out and what we would do if those things happened. And that's kind of how I try to say it. I don't try to get too deep into it. You know, I don't really want to have that on, you know, the front of my mind. I think that's Chris's job as a crew chief is to really call that race. But I do like to keep kind of a basic outline of what our plans are for the day of just kind of how things would work out if certain situations came about, at least so you're not blindsided when you get in a certain spot.
I know you talked a while ago about in the past about how when the series came back it might be so weird when you won a race just because there wasn't anybody there. To win a race at Indianapolis and for there not to be anybody there but, you know, 240,000 empty seats, as remarkable or as great an accomplishment as that would be, what would that be like to have nobody there?
Well, I think you'd still be awfully excited. You know, winning at Indy is a pretty cool thing. But, you know, it'd definitely be weird. Obviously, the Brickyard, you know, kissing the bricks with the team. Don't think that's probably going to happen this year for the winner. It's a pretty cool thing and something that's always really special. And the victory lane there and the celebration is really special with your team and with the fans as well. So that's going to be a unique one. Any marquee race that you win and you don't have the fans there, I think stings a little bit more. You know, than a normal race weekend here at Pocono. Obviously, we miss the fans, but those marquee races, you really miss the traditions of celebrating with the fans and with the team, the things that you really look forward to as a race winner.
Thank you.
All right, Jenna, go ahead and close us out.
Hey, Eric, you were not impressed with the Xfinity Series race today. What needs to change there, and can they get it done before next week when they go debut on a road course at Indianapolis?
I should probably be pretty careful here. you know, the Xfinity Series is in kind of a weird spot right now. You've got a lot of young guys in there and some very talented guys. Don't get me wrong. I really think some of the guys that are in there right now have a lot of talent and are very capable, but definitely some of the guys, you know, I think could click it down a notch. You know, I watch on TV each and every week, and it's like, man, some of those guys are so fast, and some of the things they do sometimes, it just kind of blows your mind. And you know, the way I grew up racing, hooking somebody on the straightaway is pretty out there, and I don't think you'd want to face the repercussions of what would happen, you know, coming into the pits after you had to do something like that. So just kind of a lack of respect. I think, like I said, you know, I grew up with a lot of respect in racing and respect for my equipment and my competitors. I don't like to tear up equipment. You know, I don't really believe in intentionally wrecking people. I think that's pretty low. I think that's just low class. Doesn't really belong in our sport. That's Saturday night, short track, Mickey Mouse stuff. You know, I mean, it's just not how it should be. So I just don't like to see it. It bums me out to see that in racing. And, you know, hopefully they all kind of learn from it. You know, they're not going to do that every week. They're going to talk. NASCAR's going to talk with those guys and tell them, you know, that's not going to fly here. So hopefully they can, you know, kind of learn from that for next weekend at Indy.
Great. Thanks, Eric.
Last time going through that traffic and just came out behind him and wound up second today. So just really proud of my Busch Beer Ford Mustang guys. They did a great job all weekend of giving me fast cars and chances to, you know, to win both races. And in the end, we were 50%. So just really proud of everybody.
All right. We'll now start with questions for Kevin. If you have one, friendly reminder, you may use the group chat or you may raise your hand within the Zoom platform. And we're going to take our first question from Mark Garrow with PRN. Mark, go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations, Kevin. Great weekend. Now that we've done the two races one weekend, how do you feel this will work in the future? Was this a winning format, and would you do anything different?
You know, I think the format was great. You know, I think, you know, for everybody in the garage, I think it went well. I think, obviously, it's the hardest on the guys on the team, so I'm sure the teams will have, you know, a little bit to say about, you know, the start time of the first race and you know, trying to give the guys a little bit more time instead of getting them here early in the morning and sending them home early in the morning. You know, I think, you know, that would be better. But, you know, I think overall, I think everybody would be super happy with, you know, a much shorter season and multiple doubleheaders. So, yeah, I think it went well.
So for a weekend, you finished first and second. You can't really get much more than that. Are you completely satisfied with that?
You know, I think we had a better car today than we did yesterday. And so that's kind of the way it goes, right? You know, you win the one that you don't think you have the better car, and you finish second in the one you think you have the best car. So, you know, I think overall you can't be dissatisfied with the first and second. So I'd feel childish if I sat here and nitpicked that apart.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take our next question from Bob Pockers. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Kevin, you talked yesterday about missing the fans, and I'm curious, did you even miss the fireworks here this weekend?
I didn't. I'm sure the fans did. I'm old, Bob. I'm usually asleep by the fireworks time. The fireworks go off, so if they're not racing in Iowa or somewhere that's not here, I'm usually in bed. So between the fire engines and the fireworks, I don't miss the fireworks.
Just how different is the whole weekend vibe for you without fans?
Well, there's really not a full weekend. So, you know, it's our race day shows up. You show up on race day and, you know, you check in and you spend a couple hours and then you go get in the car. So, you know, race day winds up being pretty busy, actually. But, you know, the whole vibe is just different because of that exact fact. You don't have a whole race weekend. You don't have that interaction with the fans. You know, yesterday and all the races that we've won have just been really strange just because you have all that emotion and there's nobody there to share it. So it's definitely a much different vibe and very lonely out there.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take our next question from Marty Smith. Marty, go ahead.
I mean, you just said right there all the races we've won. You've won a lot of them. So has Denny. This looks to like it's kind of shaping up like a Harvick Hamlin show. What's your perspective on how they're running and whether or not he might be your greatest threat as we progress through the season?
You know, I think as we go through these styles of racetracks with, you know, Pocono and, you know, obviously he does really good at Homestead and Martinsville. And, you know, we go to Michigan. So there's a lot of the racetracks that both of us are and our teams do a really good job at. So, you know, I think as you look at last year and this year, and, you know, I know Kyle hasn't really put it all together yet, but, you know, those guys, the Gibbs guys, even Martin, do a really good job. And, you know, Denny's been consistent over the last couple of years with Chris, and those guys just, you know, that's what it takes. It takes that chemistry between crew chief and driver and team, and they just, you know, you just never know when it's going to be like that. But those guys are really good. I know Rodney and Gabe Hart are, you know, they're good acquaintances, I guess you could say. And they're both of our crew chiefs are just really old school racers that do a good job in the engineering era of, you know, being able to look at the car and, you know, come at it from a driver's perspective. So yeah, they've definitely got their stuff together right now.
You're both championship caliber, you think, right?
You know, I think so. You know, I mean, we're winning races and doing the things that we need to do right now and running up front. And you know, I think, you know, obviously when you look at the win column, that's really, you know, as long as you're winning races, that's what it takes to win championships.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Zach with the Pocono Record. Go ahead.
Kevin, this is the latest I can recall of race finishing here at Pocono. Did the track drive any differently as it cooled off any, or was the visibility any different? And did the darkness play any factor in the strategy calls at the end?
No, not really. You know, it wasn't terribly dark. I've run around some racetracks with, you know, people shining headlights on the racetrack so you could make those last couple laps at tests and things like that. So, you know, I think everybody did a great job getting the whole race in, and you know, we've been in a lot of circumstances like that, and I can remember a race at Indy where we just kept wrecking, and finally it got dark and ended everybody's misery. So definitely not the first time we've been in this situation.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Jeff, go ahead.
You know, Kevin, when the season started out and even when you guys came back, it was like every week we're talking about Chase Elliott and Bowman. It seems like Hendrick has the speed. And, you know, Chevy, with the way they've done their car, had some sort of advantage. But now it just seems really even. I mean, do you see all three manufacturers being relatively like the parity there right now?
You know, I think a lot of that just depends on the racetracks that we go to. I think they didn't run as well as I thought they would in this particular weekend. But I think when you look back at the last couple weekends, you know, it's kind of come and gone, right? You know, so Chase has kind of been the most consistent Chevy, and Alex has won a race and you know, done okay here and there. But you know, I think for the most part, it seems pretty even, and hopefully we can keep making our cars better and keep up with everybody.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take one final question with Kevin and Jenna Fryer. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I'm curious. This whole season's been weird. Now you guys are going to Indianapolis next weekend for a doubleheader with another series. Do you think even under these strange circumstances that this race could still have a potential positive impact for the motorsports community?
I think our races have had a positive impact on the motorsports community every week, because we're, you know, when you look at our sport and you know, you look at being back on the racetrack, I think this was our 11th race, I believe, since we've come back, and our industry has just done a great job and really been, you know, the leader in trying to help other sports figure out how they're going to get back on track. But I think when you looked at the Indy doubleheader and, you know, you hear guys from both sides, we had Tony Kanaan on my radio show talking about this particular weekend and Indy cars and NASCAR running together. But we're all racers. We want racing to be successful. I know it, you know, it's kind of had that stigma for a number of years of, you know, there's the IndyCar guys and there's the NASCAR guys. But one thing I learned over the winter doing iRacing, racers are racers. If you race on a computer, you race an IndyCar, everybody wants to see a good race and be a part of a cool event. So I think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a cool event. And I think, you know, with Roger Penske owning the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, you're going to see some things different. And I think this is just the first step of many that will, you know, will bring exciting shows to the racetrack.
Cool. Thank you.
Kevin, we appreciate your time, and we wish you the best of luck next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right. And we are now going to be joined by our race meeting crew chief, Chris Gaphart. Thank you for waiting. I know had you in that seat for a good stretch here. So thanks for hanging with us. But congrats on another win. With Denny, and just talk to us a little bit about that call that was able to get him there out front to really bring home the victory.
Well, I mean, strategy races are so hard in the Cup Series because there's so many bright minds capable of altering their strategy at any point. And then, you know, we had a few extra things come up here with, you know, the weather pushing us back and darkness coming in. And, you know, of course, caution's coming when they do. And then, you know, who's running where and when and changing, you know, kind of shift gears on fly. But, you know, it just comes down to great people. You know, I got a great group of guys around me. And, you know, we really spend a lot of time going over every detail of a race weekend, depending upon the place we're going. And, of course, Pocono and strategy is no different. You know, and then Denny's trust in, you know, my ability to make the calls that win or lose, he's in there no matter what, and you know, it works well like that.
Okay, we're going to take questions now for Chris, if you have one. Once again, just friendly reminder, please raise your hand within the Zoom platform or send us a chat and we'll see it there. Well, we're going to take our first question from Jeff Gluck. Jeff, go ahead.
You know, Chris, I mean, the season started off and it was all Hendrick, and the talk was about Chevy's new car and how that's given them such an advantage. And it seemed like, you know, you guys were behind, and especially the West Coast swing. Now it just seems like there's a lot of parity, and it seems like maybe you and the four are right there as championship contenders. We don't hear as much from Hendrick. Where do you see things shaping up right now as far as the whole championship picture?
Well, that's the neat thing about our sport, right? You guys go into an off season and hear no rules changes except for, you know, 750 packages, but which aren't, you know, a large part of our schedule, of course. And you think to yourselves, wow, the Gibbs cars were so awesome, they'll just be awesome again. And that implies that everybody else is going to go home and take a nice holiday for 2.5 months. Well, at this level, that's not going to happen. You know, those guys don't take to losing very well. They're winners just like we are, and they want to win, and they're going to figure out how to get it done. So I honestly knew when the Chevy guys had the new body coming on board, you look at all the factors that go into that. They're not doing that to bring something that's just as good. You're not going to do that. So I knew they were going to be tough. You know, that whole Hendrick organization and all the Chevy guys are more than capable of winning races. They're all championship teams in their own right. So where does it put us now? Well, I think when you're the guys out front and everybody's gunning for you, it's sort of hard to know where you stand at times. And we understood, pretty quick on the West Coast swing where we were. And, we got our own organization of winners and people who push and always strive to be better at everything we're doing. And that's what it takes. You know, that's what it takes to win at the top level. And when it comes to the 11 team, we just have so much fun. I just believe in my guys and what we do, and we trust each other and we trust the process, and everybody's bought in and having a lot of fun. And in pro sports of any kind, that's key ingredient number one to a great race, great team.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Stephen Conley with PRN. Stephen, go ahead.
Chris, how important was it for this weekend to have the two races where you could use race one? I mean, you guys first and second, but taking this weekend with Indianapolis running next weekend, what can you take from here and use there, and then almost having race one as a practice?
Yeah, on the Indy note, a little bit, not as much as maybe you used to, but certainly some. You know, we're gonna compare notes for sure. I think the bigger point is having a race, a day or two prior to an additional race at the same track. We did a similar thing at Charlotte and Darlington as well, but this was the same race car, the same weekend. You got to turn it around and go race it again. Honestly, for the 11 team, I feel like we're as good or better than most at unloading in the ballpark. Sight unseen, racetrack, lap one's the race, and having a shot to be close enough to compete for a win. So, you know, I knew we'd have to work overnight. As good as our car was last night, we did not just have the exact same setup. Again, trust the people in the process. We worked on it because we knew if we didn't, other teams would, and they'd close the gap. And I honestly think our car was better today than what we had yesterday. We had a lot of damage on the car that the media may not know about. We got a big hole in the nose that really messes up the aerodynamics of a place like Pocono, and had to figure out how to get that sort of patched up. We didn't get it great, but as good as could be, and then left rear fender damage, you know, it's a lot. So it's a very tough weekend, and I think, hopefully you guys saw a lot of nuances in it, comers and goers, and of course it ended up being the 11 and the 4 in the end either way, which I'm quite proud of. To put my name in the same sentence as that group is an honor in and of itself. So, it's a lot of fun, and whatever NASCAR wants to throw at us next, we're ready for it.
And if they decide to do more of these double headers, is this something that you like and you're on board with doing more?
I like what is entertaining for you guys. That's our job. is to entertain and compete at a high level. So whatever NASCAR wants to do, I support. I will say it's very hard on the race teams. You know, we didn't leave the racetrack till after 11 last night. You drive over a half hour to the hotel and you got to be back here at 7. And there's a lot of work that goes on in between preparing a car that just raced 325 miles to race again for 350 miles and put a professional product on the racetrack. It's very important to me and my guys to polish our Toyota Camry up with FedEx on the quarter panel and the hood. I take a lot of pride in putting a first-class race car on the racetrack for those guys and Joe Gibbs Racing and my organization. And there's a lot that goes into that. So this is very hard, but these teams are the best in the business. We'll adapt. Whatever NASCAR wants to do, we'll support.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Lee Spencer. Lee, go ahead.
Thanks, Amanda. Congratulations, Gabe Hart.
Thank you.
Wanted to, real quick, what happened to the nose initially?
Yeah, so, you know, restarts at Pocono or anywhere, but at Pocono are real crazy. There's always a lot of pushing and, you know, trying to get momentum built up for turn one and a good exit for turn two. And, of course, Pocono, a lot of fanning out. And we just, you know, some cars got broke their momentum in front, had to check up, and, you know, you end up being an accordion effect when you're back there in the mid to late teens where we were at that time. And then he just couldn't get checked up in time and blasted somebody. I don't know who it was, but he immediately told me off one, man, we got to check for damage. And, you know, we got photographers back at the racetrack. We've only had them just a couple races now. So that was really helpful to be able to go to our pictures and, you know, figure out what we needed to fix. But we really needed that first pit stop to get a great look at it because the area that it was tore up is very hard to see. You guys really wouldn't have been able to see it on TV. So we needed a nice close-up view in the pit box. And sure enough, we needed to figure out a way to work on it. But Pocono, where you're only going to pit three times in the whole race, you know, pretty much, you don't have a lot of time to work on it. But again, it goes back to my guys. They're so good. And whatever gets thrown their way, we're just going to figure out a way to overcome it. And I'm proud to say we did so again today.
And secondly, Hamlin said all he wanted was a chance to get back to the final four. You guys were really the team to beat going in there last year. And, you know, your first year as a rookie crew chief, what have you learned since then that, you know, you're just going to kind of build on now, you know, knowing that we're halfway through the season and what you have to do to get back there and give the 11 team another shot at it?
Well, from a very tangible point of view, I'm not going through the first half of the season at all these racetracks for the first time with Denny. You know, I've experienced Pocono before, I've experienced Homestead before, I've experienced Atlanta before, I've experienced Bristol before, you know, where the first half of last year, it was building a notebook and building a language with Denny and the engineers and, you know, mechanics and figuring out how to optimize a weekend. While we did well going into those weekends for the first time, certainly it's our job to come out of them much better, and we did so. So we don't have any of that this year. We have a notebook built up, and, you know, I think it shows. I think the first half of our year is a lot stronger than last year's first half, even though it was good. Moving forward, what's it take to get back to Phoenix? You just got to keep executing. The one thing I love about where the 11 team's at right now is our biggest competition is ourselves. We've not had some clean races. Martinsville, you know, we had an awful race. We beat ourselves. You look at the Coke 600. We had a winning race car there. We run second and coming to Chase Elliott at the end of the race, you know, the following few days at Charlotte. But we really had a much better car at the Coke 600, in all honesty, and just didn't get to show up because we beat ourselves. Phoenix, we beat ourselves. Running in the top three and wrecked and didn't get a chance to show what we had there. So, what I love about where our race team's at right now is it's a competition against us. Execute, execute, execute. If you do that, you'll have a shot to win, and that's all we can ask for.
Thanks. Have fun.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Sterling Simmons with KCOU. Go ahead.
Chris, first of all, congrats on the win today. Denny Hamlin, you know, he has 41 career wins after today. You've been on top of the pit box for 10 of them. All within the last year and a half. What is it that makes you and Denny click together as a great driver crew chief duo?
First and foremost, Denny Hamlin's really good. And he's been around the block for a long time. You know, there's a lot of stats out there. I'll give David Smith a shout out because I think a lot of what he does that will tell you that this 38 to 41, Harvick will tell you much older than 41, is a real peak. And the reason it is very simple to give you guys, you know, the inside baseball of it, it's simple. Denny Hamlin's been around this sport a long time. He's lived through the pressure. He's lived through the ups and downs. He knows the racetracks. He understands rules changes. He knows how to work with his race team. All of that comes with experience that, you know, some of the younger guys have to get that under the belt. But he's still amazingly talented from a mental acuity and a physical point of view. He's as sharp as he's ever been. So it's the best of both worlds, where some of your rookie guys like Christopher Bell, whom I think a ton of his talent, Eric Jones, those guys, they just don't have that experience side. They got the talent side, but they've got to learn how to apply the experience. And it's a whole lot more than just driving race cars. It's just an infinite amount of pressure that those guys have to figure out how to deal with and interact with. As far as our relationship together, it's just, I say the same thing every week. It's trust. I know that any racetrack we go to, Denny Hamlin is good enough to win at if my team executes well enough to give him that opportunity. And when I say opportunity to win, it's just running top five. If you're in the top five on every given week, you have an opportunity to win the way these races shake out. And vice versa, Denny trusts myself and the team that we've built. And that confidence, when you put that kind of confidence around a great athlete, you know, look out, right? And that's where we are, and we're having a great time.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our two final questions here. Zach, we'll take your question, and then we will end with Dustin Long. Zach, go ahead.
Chris, with as late as this race was running, were you asking Denny for, I guess, how the track was changing the later this race went, as well as were you concerned that the darkest may end up shortening this race ending?
Yeah, so we were keeping very close tabs on when the race was going to end approximately, and, you know, of course, when sunset is. And what we all struggle to, you know, sunset's an easy number to look up, but what we don't have a good feel for is the twilight, right? You know, and how long you can actually see past that. So it was certainly a concern. It became pretty clear about midway through the last stage that we were probably going to finish if it went green. And at that point, it became, okay, who's pit, who's not pit, who are we racing against, and what strategy are they on, and what are they thinking? And then, you know, as decisions started being made, it became easier to hone in on what was best for us. And, you know, fortunately, I was convinced. I mean, it was very clear to me what we needed to do. And again, just a matter of executing. Denny's got to go out there and optimize lap time. And when it's time to bring it, you know, I'll let him know. And got to get in great on pit road. The pit crew's got to execute a great two-tire stop. And he's got to get up speed well. And we did all those things great. And then we were in a catbird seat from there. We had the best tires and a three-second span.
Thanks and congrats.
Thanks.
I just want to ask you about how Indianapolis challenges a crew chief, especially with track position. Is it any more so than at Pocono or road course, or is it easier because maybe you don't have as many options because the way it typically chews up tires?
Definitely not easier. And the reason it's not is because it's pretty much a one group racetrack, and all four corners are similar to each other, and they're pretty high speed corners. Whereas Pocono is a wider racetrack. You do have options, and all three corners are quite different. Turn two at Pocono is similar to Indy's corners. So that's what teams tend to focus on, leaving Pocono and trying to apply something to Indy. Although turn two at Pocono has gotten rougher over the years, so even that's not a straight application. But you know, really, the one groove racetrack at Indy is especially in today's rules package, is cutthroat. It greatly affects the decisions that you make going into the weekend, and then when your bet gets made, how you approach your weekend. And it's one of the more compromising racetracks on the circuit, actually, in terms of how you're going to approach it and what your strategy is going to be. And then, you know, once you know, Harvick and the four guys did a phenomenal job of executing the last time we were there from start to finish. And that was really from qualifying on. And once you get a fast car like that out front at Indy, it's going to be impossible to beat them. And they proved that to be the case last time there. So hopefully we can pull that off. Indy means a lot to me, and as it does to a lot of members on my race team. So we're looking forward to it.
How do you, I know you've talked earlier about the Denny's talent. How have you pushed him? How do you feel like he has gotten better even in the time that you guys have worked together, even for his talent, where he's improved in your eyes?
Well, I think it's a perfect storm. Again, you know, he's at the, in my view, at the sweet spot of his career and will be for years to come. So I'm very fortunate in that regard. He summed all of the experiences, the goods and the bads that he's had, and he's brought them to the table to me and, you know, has given me that platform to work with. And likewise, you know, while I don't have the experience at the Cup level that he does, I've effectively raced professionally for 28 years now at some level or another. So I think it's just the best of both worlds colliding in one. And, you know, that's a question for you to ask him as to whether or not he feels like he's been better the last 2 years. I certainly, I believe, and I don't have a problem, you know, holding this race team accountable, because I think that much of them with, you know, the resources that we have at Joe Gibbs Racing, with FedEx, with Toyota, with built around me, and Denny Hamlin as our driver, we can win every week. And I say that candidly, bluntly, wear it as a badge of honor. And I hold Denny to that same standard. And, you know, really, I've said that from day one when I walked into this job, and I still feel that way today. And I, unfortunately, 10 times now we've been able to back it up and been in contention for winning for many more. So at some point, I guess the proof's in the pudding. And at that point, you know, the chemistry just builds on itself, and it's been a great ride.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Chris, congratulations again on the win. We did just get the email letting us know that the 11 is the official winner. So congrats as well. And we wish you the best of luck next week in Indy. Thanks again for hanging with us tonight.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Denny, can you hear us?
I can, yep.
All right. Congratulations on the Pocono win. You now are tied with Jeff Gordon, I believe, is the all-time winner here at Pocono. So just talk a little bit about coming up with another victory and just what it means to take home another trophy from Pocono Raceway.
It's awesome. I mean, I think that's the most wins I've got at any track now. So it's hard to believe because we went such through a dry spell there, kind of in the middle of my career. Yeah, we've just been on a roll here lately, and our cars have been really good, and Chris has just been doing a phenomenal job on his side of things, and I feel like I've been doing an okay job on my side. So anytime you have something like that happen, you're going to have great success.
All right. Well, questions for Denny. If you have one, just a friendly reminder, you may raise your hand in the Zoom platform, or you may send us a chat as well. We're going to take our first question from Zach with the Pocono Record. Zach, go ahead.
And congrats on this one. How special is this win, just in the sense of Pocono, you got your first cup wins here, and now to be the tied for the all-time wins leader here. How meaningful is that to you?
Hey, it's definitely meaningful. I mean, maybe one day I'll get one of those black rocks that they got here for all the good guys that have won it at Pocono. I don't know. I don't think this is it. I don't think this will be the last one. Just the way we're going and the way things are rolling with us right now, and you know, where I feel like I'm at in my career, you know, hopefully we continue to build on it. So we're doing a great job right now. Like I say, I hate to feel disappointed in a second and a first, but man, I really feel like we should have won both races. It just didn't work out. But yeah, I can't be too greedy. I got to be really happy with the result. Today didn't start off that well. I kind of got shuffled early. I got some nose damage we had to fix. The strategy kind of got thrown for a loop, and we still were able to battle our way back up front. So that's just a testament to great race cars and a team that's on it right now.
Thank you.
Got it.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Jordan Bianchi. Jordan, go ahead.
Hi, Danny. You know, at the end there, when you're leading and you have to make a pit stop, and Chris is keeping you on the track, are you at all thinking, you know, what is he doing here? Are you second guessing him at all? Is your confidence in him just so much that you don't even think about it?
No, I knew what bed we were running there. I knew that the only reason he must have I knew that I was running a fast enough lap time out there on old tires that he was going to keep me out there. And then I noticed, you know, late, you know, about 10 laps after Harvick pitted, he said, you know, I asked kind of what's been our gap the whole time. He said, well, you've been a couple tenths faster. So, I mean, why not stay, you know, other than if a caution comes, which I'm screwed anyway, why not just stay as long as you can, come get fresh tires. I'm more than likely was going to be ahead of him anyway when I came out, which I was, because of the times that I was running on old tires. And then we were going to have the freshest tires in the field, even if a caution did come out. So I think that, you know, we kind of played it perfectly there, but it's not like we had a whole lot different strategy than a lot of the guys in the top five. We just had a car that was just that much faster.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Dan Gelston. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, Danny, what is it that you specifically and the Gibbs guys have really hit on here the last few years? I mean, all the drivers have won something like 6 out of the 7 races here, except for yesterday. What are you finding out that's just worked so well here?
That's information I cannot share. it's just yeah, I wouldn't tell you anything that we've learned or anything like that, but we've just you know, we've got to set up this pretty close, and we're optimizing it and making the best of our days.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Bob Pockers. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Denny, I don't know when was the last time they had to bring lights into Victory Lane here, but how weird was that? And did they even need it, because Victory Lane is so short these days?
Yeah, you really don't. I didn't even think about it, but to tell you the truth, I couldn't remember. Looking back, I don't even remember if there was, I guess there was lights, but because you're telling me so, but I didn't pay any attention to it. I just was hoping for no caution. If it was, I hope it was late enough in the day that they were going to call it for darkness. So I knew that we were in a great spot, just no caution. Spent the whole, you know, last, obviously 20, 25 laps, whatever it was after we pitted, just kind of, you know, picking my way through traffic. I wasn't super aggressive, didn't, you know, charge my entries, didn't do anything to take myself out of it. I knew I could manage my gap. I had the freshest tires of the guys that had pitted. So we were, as they say, in the catbird seat.
And was it any different this weekend with no fans compared to Talladega, which I guess probably had a few thousand? I mean, could you tell a big difference at all?
Yeah, it is a little different. I mean, you can hear the crowd, you know, even though it's just a few thousand at Talladega, you can definitely feel the crowd and the atmosphere, you know, even with a small amount versus kind of the boneyard that you got out here you know, today. So it's just a part of it's definitely different. You know, I wish, especially when you're on a roll like we are, you know, I wish I could live it up and, you know, get excited and kind of hear the fans, you know, give you a big F you and you suck and all that stuff, but maybe another day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Marty Smith. Marty, go ahead.
Did you want me to holler that right now?
Sure, go, give it to me.
Man, every single weekend when you guys show up, it's like you and Harvick. This looks like a Hamlin-Harvick show that's unfolding in 2020. Do you consider him to be your greatest threat in this great season? And why are your two teams so consistently good?
Yeah, I mean, I would throw the 9 in there as well. I think he's kind of been on a run. You know, he didn't have a great Talladega and he didn't have a great Pocono. But before that, you know, I think he had about 4 or 5 weeks in a row where he was in contention or had one of the best cars. So, but I think, yeah, certainly we've sustained some great finishes, and even not great finishes, but great speed through an entire race all year. I mean, really, I would say specifically the last 10 to 11, we've been exceptional, really, since coming back from the break that we had. I thought we've been really, really good, and that's a testament that, like, my team is really strong. They're doing a lot of really good work at the race shop, preparing our cars to be set up, you know, optimize right from the first run of the day. And we're always not, you know, where we're really struggling is not getting stage points. I think we'd be winning the regular season if we could get some stage points, but just the way the races have played out,
you know, we've kind of made our bed to try to go win the race because we've had race winning cars. And so I'll definitely take race wins over stage wins, especially knowing that that race win counts for five of them. So, you know, we've been doing good, and it's just marching, you know, in the regular season points, and obviously getting some playoff points there. And, you know, we just want to get back to the Final Four with a chance. That's all I can ask for. It's going to be a successful season if we find ourselves back in that Final Four with a chance again.
Thanks, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, Mari.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Courtney Harrison from WNEP. Go ahead.
Hey, Denny, I know this is a weird thing, not having any fans in the stands, but today was the first time NASCAR got to have a tripleheader with all three series going on in one day. Was that any different for you guys, or did it just feel like another day and you just kind of had to wait your turn?
Well, I think it was a little different for me because I wasn't in the bus. I wasn't kind of, you know, I didn't wake up to hearing roaring cars and all through lunch and breakfast and lunch and then us taking over. I came in here. You know, right after lunch, because I spent some time with the kids. But for me personally, it's kind of, I'm probably the last one, you know, you should ask, because I just wasn't here. So it felt kind of status quo from my standpoint. But I think it was definitely awesome. It's good to see that they could get all three races in one day. And definitely, you know, like seeing, I'm sure the fans, when they come back, love seeing doubleheaders because it gets them, you know, a lot of racing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Scott Walsh. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Denny. You lamented a little bit earlier that you felt you should have won two races here. With the way the setup is, we're coming right back and racing the next day. Is that kind of one of the advantages that, you know, you felt you gave one away yesterday, but you can kind of come right back and get another one today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, with all due respect to the four car, they have definitely earned their win yesterday. We didn't, you know, give it to them by any means. We just, you know, we just didn't have a total clean race. And I knew that he was kind of the – I knew that we were the best cars as far as speed was concerned. He just got the best of me one of those races and kind of legged out a five-second lead before we came in and pitted. So but we ran them down by the end of the race. So I knew that we had, you know, probably a little bit faster race car, but things didn't work out. They earned their win, and we certainly earned ours today. But, you know, I think certainly strategy all aside, we still had the two best cars up front when it was all said and done.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take our next question from Chase Wilhelm with NASCAR.com. Chase, go ahead.
Hey, Denny. So yesterday after the race, you came on the radio and said, hey, we will win tomorrow. So you basically called your shot. So has that ever happened to you in your career before where you said, hey, we're going to win and you end up doing it? And also, what does that do for the confidence with yourself and the team?
Well, I think it was Chris Gabehart that actually said it. I agreed with him. But the only other time that ever happened was Loudoun, New Hampshire in 2010 or 12, not sure what year it was, but I think we said Friday after practice that we were going to win the race, and we went out there and dominated and won the race. So that was the only other time that I think that we've called our shot. But I can tell you, inside of our heads, every single week we say we're going to win. So it's happened four times so far, and probably should have been more, but we're going to appreciate the wins that we do have and keep chugging along and keep, you know, pushing to make sure we get as many playoff points and try to finish as good as in the regular season points as we possibly can.
Thanks, Denny.
You got it.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Mark Garrow with PRN. Mark, go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations, Denny. 41 wins, one more than Mark Martin. Now you're starting to climb into some territory with some pretty heavyweight names that you're passing and you're coming up on. And what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I saw the next guy in line was Bill Elliott, which obviously is a childhood hero of mine. And the reason that I got into racing when I was five, and I was just a big fan of his. And I think he's next on the list at 44. And, you know, I don't know. I just don't feel like my name, you know, you put them all on a sheet of paper of all these legends and Hall of Famers and everything. And I just think that my name kind of sticks out there as one that,
doesn't fit. But, you know, I also can't downplay, you know, the accomplishments that I've had in my career. And I've been really blessed to be with a fantastic race team that continues to keep getting better. It seems like every week we just keep getting better. And so I just don't see any end in sight right now. It's just, you know, I'm not, even in 2010, I just can't remember us going to the racetracks and just like, oh, we'll win this week, or we're going to be in contention to win this week. It's just, you know, we had dominating races in 2010 when we won 8, but I just, there's something about, you know, kind of how things are going right now and the execution that we're having that just feels a little different.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Jeff, go ahead.
Denny, I may have missed the backstory on this, but how'd you end up on a boat with Hendrick and Gordon this week?
They called and wanted to see if I wanted to go on a boat ride. I said yes. I had nothing else to do. So it was fun to say the least, but I was nervous. I'll be honest with you. I was a little nervous. I think 60 is the fastest I've ever gone on water, and I blew that out of the water.
And Rick was driving the whole time?
Rick. Oh, yeah. He's the driver. Jeff was just sitting in the back enjoying himself. I think he had already been on the boat for an hour or so. But, yeah, they invited me on and told me to hang on. They showed me where the O-Ship bar was when things start getting fast. And I held on and hoped that Rick knew what he was doing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take our final question with Jenny with Jenna Fryer. Jenna, go ahead.
Hey, Denny. I know every week is weird. Next week you go to the first ever doubleheader with another series. I'm wondering what you think that might be like and if the COVID regulations sort of put a damper on what that weekend could have been.
Yes and no. I mean, certainly the Crown Jewel events are different. You know, the Coke 600 was different. I mean, it had a, you know, it was a shitty race for me, you know, when the lead fell out, but I don't know. They just all feel different without fans, and certainly, you know, would like to see them back sooner than later, but I know we got some, you know, issues going on in our country that we got to address. And, but you know, there's also, we're in the entertainment industry and business, and we're trying to entertain the fans at home right now, and I think we're doing a great job with the protocol we've got here at the racetrack, and we're able to continue to do what we love and put on a great show. It's just, unfortunately, you know, it stinks for us because it's not as much glamour around it, but, you know, there's a bigger picture to it. So I understand, and I guarantee you if I were to win the Brickyard 400 next week, I will put that trophy in the same spot that I would if there were 200,000 people there.
Will it be cool to race with IndyCar?
I've never been, you know, I've never been to an Indy race. And I don't know what the regulations will be as far as, you know, I'm sure we're probably not going to be able to go down there while they're on track or in the pits or anything like that. I don't know if they practice or not. I mean, I don't even know what their protocol is, but certainly would like to go there and check it out for the first time because I haven't been to one and excited to see how it works.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks.
All right, Danny, we appreciate your time. Congratulations again on the win, and we wish you best of luck next week in Indy.
All right, thank you very much.
This is WFO Radio.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show, and don't forget to write a review. WFO.